My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual and metaphysical worlds. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical, three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Hey everyone, welcome to The Skeptic Metaphysician. Today I'm welcoming in my co-host, Karen Ensley, to the show. And before we get started with the special guest that we have, I wanted to talk a little bit about what the topic today is. Metaphysics embodies so many things. Typically, it's really a general term that tries to categorize things that are not in the scientific mainstream. Now, when you think of metaphysics, things like psychics, mediums, astral projection, auras, tarot cards, all that kind of stuff will come to mind. And you might be kind of sort of close to our next topic when you think about those things. We're talking today about the art of reading runes. Now, this goes back so far in time that it's likely probably the oldest modality that we've tackled on this show. Runes are technically an ancient language used in the Dark Ages that have been adopted by some to psychically guide their lives and the lives of others. Now, the history of runes is a hotly debated topic by historians and psychics alike, so we probably won't be speaking too much about the history of them on the show. But if we do, it'll probably be in the most general of senses. What we will be talking about is how my guest uses runes as a tool to connect people to their intuition, which sounds really exciting to me. Now, she uses them in readings where she channels information from them, but also in healings where they a lot of times will clarify or amplify other messages. Reading runes is just a small part of what my guest today does, and I'm super excited to have her on the show today. Please say hello to Liz Simpson from Raven's Eye Healing.
Hi, thanks for that introduction. That was amazing.
Well, thanks for the amazing part. It's always nice when someone calls anything I do amazing. So I'm always excited. And Karen, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's always so much fun and so interesting.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun today because I did a little bit of research on runes and on Liz, and I can't even wait to get started. So without further ado, Liz, first and foremost, tell us about who you are. Other than what I just mentioned, what is it that you specialize in? What do you consider yourself to be?
Oh, yes. That seems like such a simple question, but it's also a big one. Yeah, it's not simple at all. I have on my website intuitive practitioner, and I like that phrase because it leaves space for whatever's going to come forward. I don't think that the path I'm on at this moment or the work I'm doing now is the final iteration of what I have to offer. So I don't want that to be trapped in one thing or another. I'm also really careful about using the word healer because I don't do healing. I am a channel or I am a conduit for source, spirit, God, guides. Pick a phrase that most resonates with you. And so I don't want to make it sound as though I am the one doing those things. I am the one holding sacred space, or I am the one kind of directing what's happening or acting in the physical plane for these things. But I don't want to actually claim that I am the healer because I'm not doing the healing. So that's why intuitive practitioner is, I think, the best description of where I'm at this moment. So that does include, yes, readings, because I think that can be incredibly beneficial and also healing for people to be able to ask questions and get in touch with their intuition, to get in touch with their support team and feel positive intention moving forward. But then I also offer, the best name for them is a healing, but they're sessions where I do shamanic and energetic work to further help people find wholeness.
Right. Okay. So we've had Reiki practitioners on the show. Mm-hmm. We've had intuitive energy healers on the show. We are in conversations with someone who does shaman healings on the show. So, and each one of those folks has said exactly the same thing that you are saying, that really you're just a channel for the energy that actually does the healing. So that all makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like you do a little bit of all types of different types of healing. So I assume you don't particularly consider yourself to be a Reiki practitioner.
I would say Reiki opened the door and then a lot more came through. And the more people that I work with who are in shamanic spaces, and I know that word is kind of debated, but it's the best one that I have. The more people that I meet in those spaces, they'll say the same thing. Reiki opened the door and then more gifts and more modalities kind of came through after Reiki. So that's how this started. But it has.
So that's really interesting because regular listeners will know that I've actually, the whole point of the show is to find something that I can touch, right? That mm-hmm. proves to me that there's something beyond the three-dimensional world. And Reiki is that thing that gave me that, right? That moment where I suddenly realized, okay, I'm feeling this. This is real. This is not just in my mind kind of thing. And it, I guess it has opened up a little bit other things, but not to the extent, obviously, as it has for you. But we're getting way off topic and it's all really interesting stuff. So I don't want to gloss over it. And I know we'll have an opportunity to talk a little bit more about the healings that you do, especially through the runes. But I really want to get to the runes, right? Because this is something that really fascinates me. Now, as an avid mythical fan, I guess, I'm a fan of old ancient Greek and Roman myths and things like that. Runes to me, I have this magical place in my mind, right? The language of the gods, that kind of thing. So how does someone go about using runes to open someone's intuition?
Yeah, I love that description as a language of the gods, because that's the origin story for the runes, is that Odin hung on the world tree for 9 days and he was given the runes. So it really is in the mythical creations of it, this way to connect with the cosmos, to connect with the divine. So that's such a great description. Yeah, I think that we are, each of us, infinite creators, and we have all of the answers to the questions that we're asking, to the things that we're seeking. We have all of that within us. So the runes, much like tarot or oracle, are, I find, to be a more tangible tool that people can connect with to kind of confirm or pull out the things they already know. So I've also received many readings, love them. They're great confirmation or support. And all the best ones have been like, as soon as they started talking or they tell me this thing, I'm like, oh, I already knew that. Yes, of course, because that's what it's helping do, is to give you maybe something to hold on to, or a picture or a phrase that you can work with and move forward with that maybe wouldn't have come through for yourself. And I think this is such an important modality right now, all the different types of readings, cards, whatever. I think it's an important modality because more and more people are discovering, I think there's something to this intuition, rediscovering, right? We're remembering as people that intuition is of value and that there's something to be gained from that. So this makes it just feel a little more real than like, well, I kind of have this feeling and I don't know what it means or what to do with it. And okay, so let's put something to that feeling that you can actually think about or work with or meditate on, however, you know, whatever that looks like.
Okay.
So I have a question, and it's going to sound like I'm being very skeptical, and that's not the case. I'm not.
A skeptic metaphysician.
I do. I mean, ever since I was little, I've had all these experiences. But for someone out there who might be more skeptical, if you are saying that you believe that we are all parts of the creator or creation, then why would we need something like runes to explain anything to us? Couldn't we find that within ourselves?
Absolutely. 100%. I do believe that that's the part. Unfortunately, we've kind of been, at least for the last couple thousand years, in a phase as humanity where that has been turned off or shut down. It's still there, but many people don't know how to listen to that. You'll hear people say like, oh yeah, I just have a gut feeling about it. That's talking about intuition, right? That's talking about hearing that inner knowing. But how many people are comfortable feeling the feeling, actually being present with it, and then knowing what to do because they felt it, because your body is communicating with you all the time, all sorts of things. There's so much wisdom and value. But how many times have I had a stomach ache and I'm like, okay, what are you trying to tell me, right? I can look at my stomach and be like, is there insight here? Surely there is. But being able to know what to do with that takes practice, takes tuning in. Sometimes it takes having guidance, not for everybody, but sometimes it helps having someone guide toward that. So I think as we hopefully evolve as people to be able to find a union between science and intuition, between the intuitive and the rational, as we step into that place, then for more and more people, tuning into their intuition, finding that knowledge they have within, will become comfortable and commonplace and accepted as a reason for things. And right now, largely, I would say it's not accepted as a reason. So yes, everybody has that. That's why I love the runes, because all I'm doing is helping you hear that, helping you know that for yourself.
It's kind of like reinforcement, like, aha, I knew it when you see it.
Yes.
At the same time, though, you are reading the runes and you are telling someone, right? You're reading somebody else. So would it not be fair to say that you're getting that intuition and you're imparting them, and it's reminding them? It's not your intro, we talked about the fact that you bring their intuition out. But really, it's you who's reading the rune. So isn't it your intuition that is providing the...
Sure. I love that nuance. I would say that's a yes and. So I think when people hear the stirrings of their intuition, or they start to feel a thing and they don't quite know what that means or recognize it as a whole message, then when I am able to hear from their guides or their higher self and put it into words or feelings or pictures, that's confirmation. And each time you hear that, then the next time, hopefully the next time, you're like, oh, maybe I can listen to this feeling, or I got this feeling in this situation, maybe it means this, right? So that's kind of like a give and take partnership of, yes, I'm expressing via my intuition. And hopefully that gives you both confirmation and confidence to continue to investigate that for yourself.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
So are you at the point where you can just fully listen to your intuition, or do you do readings for yourself?
I definitely do readings for myself. Actually, I did one just before getting on this call with you.
I was like, what am I in for?
I was asking the runes, like, what would you like me to share? What is the thing that needs to come out, or what is the thing that needs to come forward? And it's every time I'm blown away by, like, well, that was a great message, or, well, that was, of course, that was the answer, right? So yeah, that's very much a relationship for me as well, of getting information that way.
I love that. I love the way I've heard it before. And Karen, this might be help to answer your question too. That might be the differentiation between a psychic, quote unquote, and someone who actually is intuitive. A psychic can sit there and go, I'm reading your mind and this is what I'm feeling, whatever. Whereas And someone who's insightful might be, or intuitive, is using tools, the tarot, the runes, angel cards, oracles, all that kind of stuff, as a tool to help focus the, I don't want to say divination, because it's not that, it's the pulling of the information from the Akashic records or wherever it comes from, right? The collective unconscious, but it helps to focus the intention. I think is how I've heard it before. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I like that. I would say that, and maybe I've never worked with someone who fully identifies as just a psychic without tools, but all the people that I've worked with, when I do Akashic record readings, when I'm listening during healings, whatever's coming forward. Yeah, I consider that all from the same place. But the runes give the receiver, whether that's me or a client, give the receiver something to work with that. Yeah, I think focusing it helps is a great description.
Okay, good. I'm glad when I get the right answer. All right, so now I'm looking forward to maybe having you do a reading for us, because I'm curious what the runes would say. But before we get into it, I'm really curious, because I've never heard of people using runes to heal. How does that work? How do runes help to channel energy that would heal someone?
Let me speak through it and see if maybe in my description I sent to you, it wasn't a great description. Every single time I have a healing session, but many times I will be channeling information. There's something that the client's guides wants me to share or is telling me about the session as it's happening. And pretty regularly they'll be like, well, draw the runes. And so then, you know, I pull some number of runes, and as I'm working through that, then that really clarifies what they were already communicating to me. I haven't really considered it from the perspective, like, the archetypal energy that's present in the runes. Now you're opening for me a new possibility that maybe I start working with that specific energy within the session. Ooh, I'm digging this. I'm for sure going to work. That's such a great job you're creating right now. I haven't worked with them intentionally in that way, which maybe I've been missing out on some of that possibility, because they are each an archetypal energy. And that's why they're such a helpful tool, such helpful communication. I usually use them in that case to, again, provide like clear pictures or clear phrases to be able to further channel, right? It's like the guides throw in a picture and they're like, okay, use this. And then I start to speak to that, and it becomes more and more and more, and really like grows the richness and the depth of the message that they've already been telling.
And really at the end of it, they always say words have power, right? And runes, if I'm not mistaken, runes are not just letters, they're actually their words, right? Do I have that correct? Yeah. Yep. So each rune is a word, which I would assume has a certain amount of vibrational energy in it that could potentially speak to something, a malady or a healing, or something that someone might need. So that's interesting. Oh, that way.
Yeah, more to come on that. I am going to investigate. I'm really excited now.
I would love to hear from you once you investigate and find out. I'd love to have you come back and talk to us about what you found out, because I'm really curious.
And I have a question. So when you're talking about using the runes for healing, is it emotional healing or physical healing or both?
In the sessions that I do, we usually speak to, like in shamanic work, we often speak to, you have the physical body, you have the energetic body, and you have the soul body. And when we start to move towards working with your guides and other entities in shamanic work, we're starting to address soul level issues. So that might mean you feel, yes, hopefully there's also healing happening at the energetic level. And those are the things that result in our physical dis-ease, right? So those healings over time, yes, absolutely will have an impact on the physical body, but that doesn't mean in that moment, aha, now this thing is resolved. I've solved this physical ailment, because these things that you're struggling with may have come across your entire lifetime, or from my perspective, across lifetimes. And so while we can begin to address these things, this is a slow road. This is a slow road to healing you across all three of those levels and across time, potentially across dimensions, right? This is a lot bigger than just, you know, sew up my broken rib. There's a lot more going on there.
Right.
I don't know if that answered your question.
Absolutely. Okay.
And healing is such a, I mean, such a deep topic, because I mean, we can always talk about, you know, karmic debt. And I mean, there's all these things that maybe you're supposed to have these maladies. It just opens up these huge doors. So getting back to the skeptic, and this is a question I ask everyone that I have on the show that does something similar to what you do. Could it not be just reading body language or some sort of clues from the client or someone that you're reading that kind of gives you a vague answer or an idea of which direction to give to someone? Or do you really think, can you say that it is a direct path to the divine that's giving you information to give to the person that you're doing a reading from?
Yes, to all of that. So as maybe helpful to a skeptic is that my intake is actually pretty small. And when I do readings, they are asynchronous. So I am not connecting with the person over video. I mean, obviously, if I do a reading today, I can see you both, but that's not a part of what I do. All of my work is done asynchronously and at a distance. So it is not based off of, I'm just reading you and feeling like, oh, they twitched a little, that must be a thing. I have no awareness of that. And you don't have to listen to the recording, whether it's my reading or it's another session. You listen to it when it works.
Well, so you don't do the reading in real time with someone. You do it separate. Oh, that's interesting. I'd not heard that before.
So I do offer every other Friday, and you should totally come if you're on Clubhouse. Every other Friday on Clubhouse, I do rune readings, and those are short, right? Those are just whomever comes on stage. And so in that case, there's a little bit more give and take, but again, just audio. So it is largely, in my practice, asynchronous. That's the first thing. The second, though, is that there is value in the information that a client gives me in the intake. And that's not from the perspective of they're giving me all the secret answers and now like I'm just cheating. That's more from the more open you are in the information that you provide me, you're also giving me permission to connect with you. So someone who's just trying to test that, like, oh, let's see if you really have a gift, right? If you're trying to test that, oh, well, I've actually had very limited experience with that. So let's keep it that way, right? If that's the case, then you've also energetically, like, you're making it very clear that you're not open to interacting with me and receiving from me, right? So generally speaking, the more vague someone's intention is, or the more vague the question is, the answer will be similarly not super pointed, right? Like, if you were hoping that I would tell you, quit your job and move to Bali, and you mentioned nothing about that, then your guides will likely give me an answer that's about investigating your motives, investigating your ego, investigating your relationship with your needs, wants, and desires, right? They're still going to give you what you need, but it might not be in a specific answer that your questioning brain says, oh yeah, they knew all the things. I don't know all the things. Your guides are communicating with you what you need to hear at that time.
Right. And here we go again with quantum physics, right? We talk about where Schrodinger's cat, right? It's alive and dead at the same time in that box. It just so happens that people are talking more and more about the more more open you are to discovery, the more the discoveries will present themselves to you, right? Scientific-minded people feel that there's only one specific way of doing things, so that's what's going to be real for them. The minute you start thinking outside that box, that's the minute that that box starts opening up a little bit for you. At least that's been my experience so far doing the show.
I totally agree with that. I think if you are convinced that this isn't real, then for you, it will not be real. And that's okay. No one's trying to talk you into it, but that's the reality that you're creating.
Right. That's amazing. All right. So of course, my first question when we start doing the readings is, should I quit my job and move to Bali? Just put it out there right now.
And take me.
How do we make this happen? What are the steps?
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything we haven't covered, Karen, that you want, that's burning into your mind before we get into the...
I'm ready for the next step.
Next step.
To speak to that, back on the information that's available on Clubhouse in particular, not even just on Clubhouse, I have had a wide variety of questions that people ask. One woman on Clubhouse basically asked, like, what is the meaning of life? Because she was really struggling with, if we all choose, why would people choose lives that are really very, very valid question. So she tossed that one at me, you know, at Clubhouse for a 5-minute reading. And then fun, right? That's fun to interact with and to see like what's going to come through. And then I had someone ask me, I'm considering getting a pet. Is that a good path for me right now? Right. So the number of questions that you can ask and the specificity of them, that's not necessarily significant. It's the openness to interact with it. I have people who for a healing are like, I just want to hear what comes forward. And they still get like bonkers, powerful, powerful energy work and bonkers responses from their guides. So there's no rule on it, but certainly openness helps.
Right. So that it's obviously super exciting. Unfortunately, the FOMO, right? The FOMO, right? The fear of missing out is huge with me because I don't have an iPhone. So Clubhouse has been a barrier.
Well, it's Android now too.
Oh,
no longer a barrier.
That's right. They opened it up to Android.
So I need to invite you. So be nice to me.
Actually, a previous guest was nice enough to invite me. So I do have an invitation hanging out there somewhere. Now that it's on Android, maybe I can use it and access it. So how does someone find you on Clubhouse if they want to go to these readings?
Yeah. My handle on Clubhouse is just my name, @LizSimpson. But also, actually, you can't get to Clubhouse from Instagram, the One Direction. So that would be how.
So you have to download the app, the Clubhouse app, then you log on, and then you just do a search for Liz Simpson. Yeah?
Yep. And then when you follow me, you can turn on notifications to know like when I'm in a room or when I'm speaking. And when it's scheduled, it shows up with my, so like not, yeah, next week, I'm reading next Friday. So when they schedule the room, probably on like Monday, that will start to show up in my profile. But this is scheduled for Friday.
Very cool. I'm going to look you up for sure. This fascinates me. So, okay. It's going to do a drum roll here. So how does a rune reading work?
So whether we're in person or I've had you do an intake on my web, you ask a question and then I create sacred space and start to connect with your energy. And my runes, typically, if you look online to buy runes, you'll see that they're carved on bone or stone or wood. And mine are actually wooden carved. So different, which means I physically interact with them the same way I would with tarot cards or oracle cards, right? But I think more traditionally would be you pull stones out of the bag and you drop the stone. Yes, for sure. And if you watch it on like a movie, that's what it's going to look like, something more like that. I love these cards, especially for readings, because it's such a really beautiful visual for the client. It's a little easier than like, let me hold up this little stone and you can see a picture of it or whatever. So yeah.
For those who are only listening, the card is almost, they're wood, right? They're made out of wood. And they're like gold laminate all in a really super design, all kind of leading in, your eyes leading directly into the actual runic symbol. So it's really quite stunning. The card is beautiful. So I can see why you want to use
them. They're from a woman in Greece that I ordered these from. And the runes for me very quickly became, they're very familiar to me. Discovering runes for me kind of felt like coming home, and they're quite familiar to me. So if I have a choice, I almost always, not now because I've been traveling, but when I have my decks in front of me, almost always the runes are like, clearly you're choosing us. You know what I mean? Like, forget that oracle over there. We're not interested. It's almost always they come through. So I shuffle them and draw them the same way that I would with any other deck. Very frequently, they will pop out. I'll be shuffling and they'll pop out, but I will choose them the same way that I would if I were doing any other.
So what makes them pop out? I mean, that's a little freaky for me. Like, that's like someone or some sort of spirit saying, hey, this is the one you need, right? Yeah, that's a little weird for me. So how does that work?
Yeah, I think if you were watching, it would look to you like I just dropped it. It doesn't look like there's someone creeping around, like tugging a them out, right?
So that, yeah. Did they have a mind of their own? Did they just say, hey, it's me? I mean, it just seems really weird to me. I don't know.
That's fair.
Just me? Just me. Okay.
I think, to me, I take that as like, my guy, it's your guy. The universe is going to put forward the information that I'm supposed to interact with. And so I think that's part of like, how about you just don't mess this up? This is the one that you need to be looking at instead of, well, now she has to shuffle through all of these to get back to it or whatever. I don't know what that logic is on the other side or of my support team. But to me, I just see it as like, okay, it's not a thing to question. It's just that one came forward and now we will use it.
Okay. I take my creepy comment out back. I think it's actually pretty cool now. Now you've put it that way. That's actually pretty cool. So, okay. Okay. So then do you have a typical layout like in tarot, or is it different than a tarot?
Because I have them in card form, I think that would be totally fine to use them in that way. I typically don't. Usually my pretty standard is 3, but sometimes spirit will say stop after 2. And I just know that feeling of like, that is all for now. And then occasionally I'll draw 3 and then another one will come forward. So that happened on Clubhouse last week. I drew 3 for someone and then she and I spoke a little bit and they were like, draw again. And I added another card. And then I spoke to that additional card. I did a reading for myself a couple of days ago and I drew like 10. Like they just kept, it was the most nuanced answer. Yeah. Like there was a lot wrapped up in that. And so they just kept saying, yes, add another, or you're not quite getting it, add another. And so I ended up with like 10 by the time I got to the end, and then had like a really rich, complex, nuanced answer of, you know, of what I was asking about.
And so does it, I mean, do you use it to guide your life? I mean, is it foretell your future? Does it tell you, I mean, you hear stories of people who listen, who have gurus, businessmen who have gurus in their life, and they take everything that the guru says as gospel, and they make really life-changing decisions based on what one person is saying to them. Has that been your experience? I mean, are you at the point where this is it, this is true, this is real, and I'm going with whatever the cards tell me? Or do you ever question that?
Okay. I believe that what they tell me is real. And it is usually, like the question that I asked the other day was about my business and about expanding into adding another service. And the answer in response was like, yes, and that will be hard. So make sure you're ready. And so that was like, yes, I do want to progress, but it also gave me pause and it also gave me more time to come back in and think about it. So I don't think anytime we're interacting with our guides, it's like, freaking do this right now. This is the path. Your guides understand that you are a human living in the world. Sometimes they might forget some of that, but like you're a human living in the world and it's about helping you get to a point where you can intentionally make the choices that are best for you. And so if that means I need to do 7 different rune readings, and I also need to go talk to somebody and it's still going to take me 6 months to make a choice, that's okay. That's a part of the process of getting to your next phase or learning the lessons that you need to learn or whatever. So my relationship with them is not exactly like that, because I also, they very rarely give like yes or no. It's usually much richer about, well, what are you listening to and what are you wrestling with and what sort of blocks are coming up with this? So from my experience, that's not how the relationship works. That's not to say for other people, that's not exactly how it is, but that's not really my relationship.
That's a great answer. And the reason why I asked it is because really in order to tamper some sort of expectations, sometimes people think I'm going to do this rune reading. It's going to tell me exactly what I need to do tomorrow because I'm at a loss. It's more of a process. It is a tool that gives you some guidance. But at the end of the day, right, it's like everything else. You have to take your own wisdom into account and see whether this is right, the right path for you or not. It's not a definitive, you got to do this or you don't do this kind of thing.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think we kind of hamstring ourselves when we look at something as like a divination tool, because I'm not foretelling the future. The future is infinite possibilities and you have free will. You get to choose where you go and what you do, and you're creating a future. And that's one of the things about runes, is that they help you see the path you're on, and it's your choice whether you want to change that or inject new things or look at it in a different way. It's not, this is what will happen. First of all, why? No, that's a whole different topic. To me, that's not beneficial, because I want to be intentionally stepping into what I am co-creating, which is about understanding that I have infinite possibilities and there's infinite opportunities available in front of me. Yeah. So I think it can easily get like shunted into this is fortune telling, but that really limits what is available to you as an infinite creating possibilities of human, right? That only would limit what you actually have the power to step in.
Right. Yeah. Like to your point earlier on, we are co-creators. So we create our own reality. It just makes perfect sense. Okay. We've been going on for a while now and a lot longer than I expected, but this has been a great conversation. I'm really curious to whether when you did the reading before you came on the show, was this the information that they told you to talk through? Or is there something that we haven't touched on yet that you're supposed to?
Not yet. So I'm sure my guides are like, what are you doing? What's going on in there? The cards that I drew were speaking towards what the runic journey is and how, I guess we are speaking to these things, just maybe not as explicitly as they gave them to me. About this is when you receive a reading, when you interact with a tool like this, it's a moment to find stillness. It's a moment to turn inward, find some meditation and self-awareness and reflection, right? That is a moment to come into this place of stillness and reflect and find pause. And when I drew that card, I was like, well, yeah. And then the next thing that they brought out was this like primal creation energy. And the message that came to me with that was, okay, we take this moment to pause. We go inward in the idea of like Persephone in the underworld, this time, this season where we are reflecting and meditating, being present, looking inward. And out of that, we gain the ability to tap into the raw creative possibilities. We gain the ability to see our depth and our power and like picture like a wild, the rune was the wild ox, like this wild ox in all of its like power and capability. We have the ability to then tap into that. And this is an opportunity, once you've tapped into that, to start to bring that out into the world. And then finally, the third rune was the wagon ride ho, which is about the journey. And the image that came to me with that was about like being on a canoe on the river. And we can use runes, we can use them to help us appreciate the journey, because that is the lesson. That is where the value is. It's not about, did I get to the end? It's about where we are learning and moving and appreciating. Here I'm in some rapids, here I'm in still water, whatever, as I'm experiencing my journey, as I'm experiencing the ride. So cumulatively, that paints like a really beautiful picture of what we have available each time we tap into this tool, which really is every time you're looking inward into your intuition, every time you're connecting with source, you know, whatever.
And it's such a classic way of doing that, right? The runes are just, I have this like classical look to them, ancient and powerful. And like we talked at the beginning, the language of the gods. So that what you just said really does paint a really interesting picture to give someone, like if someone's really wanting to know or understand what the runes are all about, that's it, right? It's not just some cards or some stones you're going to pull out of a bag. It's a journey that you take with the help of the wisdom of the gods. That's kind of how I see it. All right.
I'm just listening.
I feel like I'm doing hogging the microphone the whole time. So it's what I do. All right. Well, then let's just get to the reading. So for the listeners, if you are still with us, the next portion is going to be really specific to questions that maybe Karen and I have, or what Liz is going to, messages that Liz will come, will receive for us through the runes. You're welcome to stay. We'd love to have you stay and listen in. But if you decide that you don't want to stick around for this portion of the show, don't forget you can always reach out to Liz on her via her website, which is ravenseyehealing.com, or follow her on Instagram at ravenshealing. I'm going to put direct links to those on my show notes, so please feel free to access those there if you're so inclined. So if you're still welcome, Liz, how can we move forward? Like, do we have to get a specific question, or should we just do a general reading? What do you recommend?
Well, the runes already came forward. So okay. if you have something that's kind of like on the tip of your tongue, something that you're kind of sitting with, I invite you to bring that forward now before I start to tune into these and find a message for them. But if there's nothing that's coming forward, I'll just see what they have.
Gosh, I kind of want to just see what they have to say, but I do have a question more so. Just, I always worry about my daughter's health, and she's going back to school in person. So anxious about that. But I don't know. Is this something that, well, I don't know how it works.
Obviously, if the runes have already come forward, is because there's something that we need to hear. So I'd love to hear what that is. And then I don't know if beyond that we can then go into that question, or are they maybe tied in together? I don't know.
What comes forward for me is that they're likely tied in together. So I'll start to just interact with them. And then I think that there might be another one that comes forward specifically about your daughter, but this is not an accident. So I'm sure that coming forward in the room, there's going to be information around that altogether. I have confidence in that. Sometimes it just takes a little while for it to be clear to me. So I did listen to the interview you did with a tarot reader before. I don't remember the gentleman's name. And I know that he uses the book with his deck. I also use the book book that came with the runes for two reasons. The first is that I think this was channeled when she created it. I think there's wisdom behind it. So I'm open to receiving from that. And also it's another tool. It's another like little points that my guides can use as a jumping. So even if it's a rune I'm very familiar with, and the ones that came up, I've interacted with a lot. Sometimes when I open the book, a phrase will come forward or a word will come forward that will help clarify. So I just want to be transparent about that, that this isn't just based off of, I don't have the book memorized. I use it to help clue into things. So the three runes that came forward were Loguz and Perthro, Fate, and Gebu, the gift. I don't know if you can actually see that, if it's reflecting. There we go. So the water is feminine and creation. And I just had it open. So this is emotion, which is also similar with tarot. This is emotion, dreaming. It can be literal water like the ocean. It can also be feminine energy, the unknown, hidden. Fate, Perthro. That one actually I get less frequently. Let me see what comes forward with that. This is when we talk about casting lots or the roll of the dice, literally fate. This also then ties back into mystery, feminine energy again, the unknown, coincidence, gambling, chance. And then finally, Gebu, the gift, love, forgiveness, generosity. This speaks to an equal exchange, an exchange that is reciprocated and appreciated both ways. So the water. I'm going to just keep speaking to these and see as things come forward. Since we're speaking vaguely, I might kind of just tune into your daughter and see if that brings forward a broader message. Initially, as we're talking about water and we're tuning into the feminine, this is bringing forward the idea of trusting. They're giving me like a large body of water and the feeling of being out in the middle of that. So there's little twinges of anxiety, of like you just look out and all you can see is water and you don't quite know where the land is. But then there's also great peace that comes from being out in the middle, just out in the waters that are creation and that are life. And Loguz speaks to that. It speaks to how water can both be nourishing and destructive. We can also, as much as it can bring life, it can also end life, and sometimes very dramatically, powerfully. So the image that comes through is that being in the middle of the water, starting to experience these twinges. So with fate, then we're talking about there's going to be a phrase that comes forward. This points to randomness, the unknown, and infinite possibilities. This speaks to the fate that is out of your hands. And what was that? There's something right on the tip there. This gives the feeling of like something balancing on the knife's edge, and it could tip one way or the other. It could go either way. I don't yet feel how it's tied into the water, but this could go, we could tip to the right or we could tip to the left. It could tip to black. And we don't quite know how that's going to go. And I think with your daughter, what comes up for me is this feeling like tying back now to the water, this feeling of there's so much that feels like luck and there's so much that feels out of your hands, or that feels like there's just so much that I don't know and I can't control. It's almost like infinite possibilities, while they can be magical and there's so much opportunity, that also then leads for infinite things to worry about, infinite things to be afraid of or question, or so many ways that could tip off the knife's edge to the side that's bad. This comes up, this is bringing forward like kind of what you spoke to, right? That mother's worried energy. Like they're showing me like a mother hen, and she wants to collect all her little chicks in. Come under my wings. We're going back up into the coop. If I could just shuffle you all in. I'm here. I am trying to move like a chicken. If I could just bring all my little to bring these all back in and back into where we feel secure. So that energy that's bringing forward is really this like concerned mother hen. These infinite possibilities are so scary. And so then when we step towards Gebu, towards the gift, that's about reciprocity. That's about giving a gift generously and openly receiving what is given back. It's this real like trade partnership. I also think this is lucky number 7. Yeah, this is the reason that we have lucky 7, this rune. And it's the X, which you can also see as like that equal exchange. Literally the symbol of the rune is about the equal exchange of two people meeting and having equal exchange. So what comes through for me in this, tied to that feeling of like the vast water and the hen that's worried about her little chicks. What comes through on the other side of that then is equally receiving. So first, part of this is about percept. Part of this is about seeing that opportunities or fears are also opportunities. That's two sides to the same coin. That coin that you flip, what feels like fate, it could land on either side and heads or tails, and it feels so out of your control. Recognizing that actually the whole coin is the opportunity. Actually the whole coin is the possibility, and there is not good or bad, even though as the mother hen that feels like one is really good or one is really bad. But the entire coin is the possibility. The entire coin is the gift to be experiencing and working with as you move forward. Waiting for something else to come through. Maybe I'll look at the... Oh, so in health, this is talking about sticking with balanced relationships. But that doesn't feel like the full thing. Generosity comes forward. Generousness of spirit. There's something just waiting. Let's pull another card. There's something right at the tip. That hopped out. Urus, the wild ox. This is the one that I was talking about. But in the reversed position, power loss, lack of will, poor vitality, difficulty in accepting life's challenge. What terrifies you may ultimately become your greatest source of power and strength. Yeah, so that really echoes the feeling that's coming up about this being a gift and about stepping into this relationship with your daughter, this relationship with the unknown, this relationship with the things that are coming, stepping into that from a place of power. Even though it feels like it is out of your hands and it feels like it's a coin flip, there is still this place for you to be comfortable and present in the water. You're in the middle of the deep ocean and there is still room. There's still a place instead of saying like, oh, poops, I can't see land anywhere. What's coming? And water is that healing, nourishing, life-giving place. It is in the deep water that those lessons are coming through. It is in that place, exactly in this point where you feel like the hen, exactly in this place where you feel anxiety and you're waiting on the knife's edge and like, please let things work out well. Releasing some of that, seeing the value of the whole coin, seeing the value of being in the deep water and trying to approach that from a relationship of it is a gift to be here now in the deep water. And when we are in a place of anxiously worrying about what could happen, what could be, and I'm not saying this in judgment, we all experience that of what's going to be, is it going to be okay? We're giving away the power to be present in that moment, to be present in the deep water, and to experience the fullness of both sides of the coin. So when Uru comes up in reverse, it gives us the opportunity to reframe our relationship and step back into a place of balance, of recognizing the lessons on both sides of the coin, stepping back into owning our own in caring in the way that we give and receive, generosity, compassion, those things you still have power over. Even if the situation feels like this could go really badly, this could be fine, what's going to come out? You have the power of how you come into that relationship and the way that you experience love and compassion and support for the people around you, support for your little chicks as they go out into the world. That's where you call back in your power. That's where you stand and where you can be in the middle of the ocean. And it's okay because you are still radiating that love and you are actually coming into vibration with the water instead of feeling afraid and fighting with it. I think that's it for the moment. Okay. It doesn't always take that long to get to the full answer, but...
Well, I think there might have been some confusion. I think that had a message that they wanted to give to us, and I think we might have muddied the waters with the daughter thing, I have a feeling. Could that be a possibility?
Sure. I think... Always the possibility. Yes, if you ask the question, then yes, that is a possibility. I think this message, whether we're focused on a particular person in our life or not, speaks to even like the collective energy right now, the collective of how we show up and experience the people in our daily lives and what we do with the inundation of messages that we receive. So if that resonates in a way that's different than your daughter, that's great. If you find message that clicks there.
What are your thoughts?
I'm just trying, I was kind of thinking about CNN and I was trying to put it together and I was struggling with that. Like it wasn't, and I kind of didn't really get it as far as what my questions or concerns were. I felt like it was a different track, but it might've been because those came up before I asked the question. So maybe like what you're saying.
I have a feeling
about something.
Different. Because to me, the water has a very, I mean, it could be a vast, a broad definition or symbolism, but if you couple it with the other, actually three, there seems to be a particular message about maybe being in the middle of a stressful situation or something that could fall one way or the other, but by generosity of the relationship, everything is going to be okay. You know, That's kind of what I've got from that. Without going into too much detail, I think that that's the message that I received. Whether or not that's the message that we're both supposed to have gotten, I'm not sure. But that's certainly, it spoke to me in a fairly specific way.
Now, when you did this reading for both of us, was it like, did you get an inkling that it was more directed towards one of us than the other?
The energy of being concerned about the people that you take care of, that definitely felt like distinctly feminine to me. That did feel like a mother vibe specifically to me. But almost every time I've done a reading on Clubhouse, there are other people in the room that it wasn't for. It's like, oh yes, there's also a message for me in that. So it totally makes sense that even though it felt to me like a more mother vibe, everybody benefits from coming into relationship, you know, openly and equally giving and receiving. So I don't.
Yeah. I also think that even though it could have been directed towards you, that feminine energy, I think there's a big message there that talks about your generosity over the last year or so that could very well be directed at both of us. But really, in that sense, it might be more of a, hey, we acknowledge your generosity of the last year or so, however long it's been, right? And your overall feeling of things will be okay, or overall feelings of be careful or danger ahead. Anything that came to mind?
No, more, yeah, I would say more the former of this. I think especially when Uruz came forward in the way that it did, speaking to like stepping into your own power and calling back what you can control, which is the way you interact with the world and the love that you bring into the world. So that's not the end message was like still water and being comfortable in deep water, being comfortable and confident that it's okay that you're there. So yeah, that is a feeling very much of like peace, because you are stepping in with power and stepping in with choice, not, oh, well, poops, the world just gives whatever it gives and I'm just screwed. Instead, choosing intentionally what you can control and what you do bring forward into that place.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me.
It's so unfair to you because it's a matter that it's difficult to discuss, but I will tell you that without you realizing it, you have struck us right in the center of our souls. I mean, you have spoken to us in a way that I don't think either one of us was expecting, but also is a really welcome message, I think. Yeah.
No, I was just thinking about you when she was talking about the edge and it could go either way. That just makes me feel like that's something that's on your mind a lot.
Well, yeah, it's certainly something we need to discuss offline, but yeah, there's a very specific, it can go either way. Like yeah. The fear is, there's a fear, like a specific fear there. I think it's more along the lines of perhaps, but it's more of a, remember the text I got, which time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, is it going to blow something up or is it going to be, right? That's, I think, where that comes from. So yeah, there's so many different nuances. And I'm so sorry, Liz. I know it's super unfair to you. And this whole thing, I'm sure, is going to be edited out.
No, I'm super glad that resonated for you. And it's valuable for me to hear you process it and to hear how it lands with you, because mm-hmm. I don't know when I share what parts will resonate. I have no idea if it will really be something, or you're like, that's dumb, I don't even have a daughter, or whatever it was that you could have said, right? Like I'm thankful to hear that does land with you. It doesn't matter if it resonates for me or if I get that validation, but I do appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's certainly completely resonated with me, and it resonated with me the entire time. It was not what I was expecting. It took until you got to the third card when you started piecing it all together that went, oh crap, okay, I know where he's going with this now. Yeah, so it worked out great.
Yeah, I often feel that way, and it's about, there's a huge amount of trust involved as I start to speak to the cards, because when they first come forward and I start to feel into them, I'm not instantaneously overwhelmed with like pictures and phrases, right? It takes a while for those things to kind of come forward and weave together, which I think is intentional. I think my guides are like, continue to move with trust that we are going to give the message that needs to be given. But that is sometimes quite uncomfortable to be like, okay guys, anytime you want to figure this out, that'd be great.
We got lots of people sitting here waiting on me.
If we could get
to the chase.
Exactly.
All right, well, that was amazing to me. Now we've really processed the information, you've hit it straight on. Mm-hmm. It was remarkable. Absolutely. So thank you so much for doing that for us. I feel like we have so much to talk about, but in the interest of not making this a 5-hour podcast, I think we should bring it to a close. I would love to extend the invitation. I mean, we touched a little bit on about the Akashic Records. There's so much that we can discuss. I'd love to, if you're interested, come back on the show another time and we can expand on the conversation. We also need to, you know, that research you're going to do on the runes, we need to find out. I mean, you know, inquiring minds and all that kind of stuff. So thanks so much for being on the show today. And is there anything that you want to make sure, one last thing that you want to make sure that our audience really gets before we...
I think if you listened to this and felt resonant with me and felt resonant that there are things that you would like to partner on to move forward towards healing, those are the people that I'm really looking forward to connecting with, people who are interested in partnering. So I hope this is a good, just a little taste of like, if this is a person that I can resonate with, then I would love to have a conversation. I would love to connect with people. This is a great way to just share like, there's love out there. Let's make some more bridges.
Yeah, no, definitely. And thanks for bringing that up. That's certainly something I was gonna make sure mention. You do this for folks. They can actually reach out to you, Instagram, website, and book you for readings or healings or things like that. There's lots that you do that we didn't even really talk about that I definitely do want to make sure that people, runes is just barely scratching the surface for the things that you do. So I would encourage everyone to go check out the website, Raven's Eye Healing. .com to learn more about you, because some of the things that you do are really truly remarkable and you are open to anyone listening reaching out and doing that with them. So,
and I just want to add to the audience who's listening, she has made this such an easy experience, and you can tell that just Liz does this with so much love. So you should absolutely feel comfortable reaching out to her and booking a session. It's so well worth it.
Absolutely. You have a wonderful, kind energy that really definitely comes through, not just in video, but in audio as well. So don't be afraid to reach out to her. She is truly, she's a beautiful human being. And we invite you to reach out to her, because this was a wonderful experience for us.
Thank you. This was a gift for me as well. It was so much fun connecting with you and talking about something that I love. So thank you. I absolutely look forward to coming back, because we have much more to dive into.
We do have a whole lot more. And I'd love to stay in contact with you, because this is wonderful. So thanks again one more time for coming on the show.
Thank you both. I appreciate it.
And as always, I do want to sincerely thank you, listener, for coming along on this journey of discovery. And especially, I want to thank you for putting the show in the top 2% of our category, which we just found out according to listennotes.com. We're incredibly honored to have been put in a position to help share these messages with people that are so desperately needed. This world, the way that it's in now, these types of messages are so important. If you know one person that you feel would benefit from hearing these messages that we give on the show, I encourage you to please share the show with them, because it's important to get this out to as many people as possible. Like I mentioned, if you'd like to learn more about my guest, please check out her website, ravenseyehealing.com, or follow her on Instagram at ravenseyehealing. Like I mentioned earlier, I've laid in direct links to those in my show notes for your convenience. And don't forget, you can send us messages on voice messages on speakpipe.com/skepticmetaphysician. We do love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, or feedbacks on the show or the guest. And we do love to share people's stories. So if you have a story you want us to share, please reach out to us if you'd like to come on the show. You can join us on Facebook and Instagram at The Skeptic Metaphysician. Links to those social media platforms and SpeakPipe access all in the show notes as well. Well, that's all for now. Karen, thanks again for joining me today.
As always, it was a pleasure.
And thank you for listening. We'll see you again on the next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Until then, take care.